Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good morning, and welcome to Alpek's first quarter 2013 results conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, Raul Miñares, CFO, and Hernán Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, this call is being recorded and will be available at the company's website, www.alpek.com. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Hernán Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first quarter 2013 results conference call. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided in two parts. First, Mr. Miñares will provide some insights about the industry and our company's results, and after that, we'll open up a Q&A session. Information discussed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's results and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Raul Miñares.
Thank you, Hernán. I would like to begin by highlighting that in line with our expectations, favorable industry trends observed after the fourth quarter began to benefit export markets outside North America. As a result of the recovery and continued stability of our core North American operations, consolidated EBITDA amounted to $160 million, increasing 13% when compared to the fourth quarter 2012. In addition, volume grew 1% and revenues were up 9% quarter-on-quarter. According to industry data and internal estimations, Asian margins extended their month-to-month recovery into the first quarter, easing pressure on Alpek's export market. Consequently, both our polyester and plastic chemical business segment posted sequential growth. In line with our 2013 guidance, first quarter 2013 results were lower versus 2012, but reflected improving industry dynamics quarter-over-quarter. The gradual recovery we expected for 2013 is visibly underway. As a reminder, market conditions were much more favorable in the first half of 2012, and as you know, pressure from new capacity in China and soft global demand increased significantly during the second quarter half of 2012, affecting markets outside North America mainly. However, our industry has improved progressively and conditions began to turn more favorable after November 2012. In order for you to have a better understanding of the last developments, we believe it is more relevant to view our first quarter 2013 on a sequential basis, so please keep this in mind during the call, as I will refer the quarter-on-quarter variations more than in previous occasions. On a sequential basis, our polyester business segment volume increased 3%, sales were up 9%, and EBITDA grew 9% in the first quarter. Year-over-year, polyester volume decreased 6% during the first quarter. The Integrex PET line at Columbia site was shut down between December 2012 and February 2013 as part of the debottleneck project that increases Alpek's capacity by approximately 53,000 metric tons as of March 2013. In addition to the planned downtime, polyester volume decreased year-over-year due to more challenging export market conditions when compared to first quarter 2012. Polyester revenues decreased 5% year-on-year, but increased 9% on a sequential basis as average prices sustained their upward trend after hitting bottom in July 2012. Polyester segment EBITDA in the first quarter was $190 million, down 15% year-over-year, but 9% higher when compared to the fourth quarter as market conditions outside North America continue to improve. Similarly, polyester EBITDA per ton reached $155 per ton during the first quarter, 9% less than the same period in 2012, but up 6% from $146 in the fourth quarter. Now, on our plastic and chemical segment, we also posted quarter-on-quarter growth despite substantial weakness in caprolactam, as well as lower volumes due to a declining polypropylene price expectations that affected customers' purchases and sluggish Mexican housing construction. During the first quarter, plastics and chemicals volume decreased 6% both year-over-year and quarter-on-quarter. Typically, customers reduce their inventories by deferring purchases when prices are expected to decrease. This was the case with polypropylene, as prices were high at the beginning of the year, but they began declining rapidly in mid-February, and everybody then stopped buying, waiting for the prices to bottom down. In addition, EPS demand, particularly in Mexico, has been lower than anticipated due to a slowdown in the Mexican housing construction segment. Despite lower volumes in plastic and chemicals, net sales increased 1% year-over-year and 8% on a sequential basis, driven by higher prices in January and February. I would like now to discuss this week's announcement regarding our 2013 strategic priorities. We will talk now about the upgrade of our installed PTA PET capacity in North America. As we have commented in previous calls, we have been evaluating different alternatives to enhance our low-cost position in the region and also leveraging our very, very competitive interest technology in a new integrated PTA PET site in the U.S. Gulf Coast. Market size, industry dynamics, capital requirements, logistics, and an overall cost advantage were considered among others to find the option that would maximize Altec's long-term shareholders' value. As a result of this evaluation process, and after very long also negotiations, we signed an Integrex PTA license agreement and a sourcing agreement with M&G Group. I will explain in more detail how these two agreements work. Under the license agreement, M&G will use Altec Integrex PTA technology for the construction of a new site in Corpus Christi, Texas, consisting of 1.2 million tons per year of PTA plant, and this plant will be integrated to the production of 1 million tons of PET per year. At the same time, Altec acquired contractual rights for 400,000 metric tons per year of PET from this new facility, including 336,000 metric tons per year of integrated PTA that is required to produce these 400,000 tons of PET. For this, Altec will pay $300 million to M&G during the project's construction, and we have, as I will have already mentioned, the right of 40% of the new plant integrated PET volume. This volume will be delivered at a very, very low conversion cost that this site will have. As part of the agreement, we will supply raw materials such as paraxylene and monoethylene glycol, MEG, for our portion of the PTA and PET that is going to be produced in the referred site. Altec will continue to supply PTA to M&G's Altamira plant in Mexico, and upon completion in 2016 of the Corpus Christi project, this site, the Corpus Christi site, will supply Altec's Pearl River facility in Mississippi. The Corpus Christi facility represents approximately 50% of the current installed PTA capacity in North America and roughly 20% of the current PET capacity in the region. We expect more than half of this increase to be absorbed by the expected domestic market growth between now and the time that the new site reaches its full capacity. We are convinced that our Integrex technology, combined with the plant scale in the U.S. Gulf Coast advantages in energy and logistics, will make Corpus Christi the lowest cost integrated PTA PET site in North America. Alpec $350 million sourcing agreement provides unique access to the most competitive PTA PET facility in the region, while also allowing us to use fully lever our proprietary raw material purchases and future energy integration. The agreement signed with M&G provides Alpec with the access to integrated PET economics at both Corpus Christi and Pearl River. Three integrated sites, after this site is completed, Alpec will have three integrated PTA sites, which will be Columbia, Pearl River, and Corpus Christi. So we will have, as a consequence, the largest integrated, very competitive capacity in the region. And with this, this will enable us to better serve our North American customer base with all the optimizations we will achieve with this investment in logistics, in conversion costs, and all the things that is related to this project. Moreover, from a licensor's perspective, the scale-up of Integrex PTA to 1.2 million tons per year will further enhance our technology's attractiveness to potential licensees. It will be a very important showcase for the size of capacity that is built today around the world. For this reason, we believe that our decision enhances Alpec's low-cost position and maximizes long-term shareholders' value. I would like to wrap up this session of the call with a brief comment regarding ongoing efforts to implement the rest of our 2013 strategic investment priorities. As planned, we completed the Columbia the Bottleneck project in February, which added 53,000 tons per year of PET capacity with a total investment of only $60 million. We also increased preliminary work on a similar bottleneck project that will increase our capacity at Pearl River of PET by approximately 55,000 metric tons per year. In addition to this, we are also making progress in the construction of our first cogeneration plant in Veracruz, which is on schedule, and it will begin operations in 2014. Up to date, we have invested approximately 50% of the project's $130 million estimated cost. Other strategic projects, such as the backward integration to MEG and the construction of the Altamira Cogen plan, are advancing as planned. We will provide any update relating to these projects as soon as they become available. With this, I conclude my remarks, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place the questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal time to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we will take our first question from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Hello, Raul. Thank you for the call. Good morning. My question is regarding your K-Pier site. We understand that you still have to make a decision regarding closing or keeping the operations at this site. So if you could provide some color on when do you expect to make such decision, and if the decision is to close the site, would you close it only when the Corpus Christi plant starts operating, or could it be before that?
Yes, thank you, Vanessa. Good morning. We have not come to a decision on when and how, where are we going to do this decision of the K-Pier plant. There are several things that we have to conclude and finalize in there, but they are independent decisions. It depends very much, as I mentioned, on different economic conditions and the situation there with the operation. So they are not linked. So there are two separate decisions: the K-Pier situation and this new project.
Okay, it would be interesting to understand a little bit better, Raul. Then, what are the conditions that you would need to see in the industry to decide to close the site, or in general, I mean, what is the rationale behind either closing or keeping these operations?
Well, I think it has to be on the situation of the industry, the competitiveness, the market, how it develops, and the cost structure, how competitive can we keep the site. It's not an easy decision because there are costs of shutting down, and so we have to make a full evaluation on that part. No, but we are looking at it very closely, and then we will make our decision when we have a full picture of how we will do and what will be the consequences and how we're going to keep on sourcing our customers and our market on a competitive basis.
Okay. I think something that would be useful, Raul, is if you could tell us what is your current cash cost per ton for PTA production, excluding K-Pier and at K-Pier in specific, if possible.
We do not disclose that information at that level, but we have, at outside the K-Pier operation, we have a very, very competitive structure, especially in Colombia and in our operations in Mexico. We believe we are in the low percentile cost of the curve in North America.
And how would it compare to Asia, for example, Raul, just to understand a little bit better your position in the cash cost?
We are very much in line of what is the cost in Asia in terms of fixed cost, in terms of, I think the important thing you have to think when you look at our operations here, first is that we have a big advantage in terms of energy here now in North America. So if you compare the cost of energy, because these operations are very intensive in energy. After raw materials, energy is the second most important input into these operations. And there, we think we have a very, very important advantage. And from the point of view of other costs, fixed costs, we still are very low, let's say, human resources cost intensive. So actually the main cost as capital is energy and is raw material. So energy, I think we're very much in line. Cost of capital, I think we have now very low cost of capital. The way we have been building all our structure throughout the years, and with the Colombia facility, the way we did that, and this new plan that we are planning in Corpus Christi, well, the plan that is going to be built in Corpus Christi, we'll have this integrated technology that requires less capital per ton. So I think we are in a very strong position against any Asian operation in transformation cost. And from the point of view of raw materials, I mean, raw materials like paraxylene is a commodity that is traded globally. So we are no disadvantage to the paraxylene or MEG, which also is a globally traded product.
That's very useful, Raul. And just a final question regarding the Indorama PET expansion in the Decatur for a little bit more than 500,000 tons per year of capacity. Do you think there is enough demand in the region to absorb this increase in capacity, or what is your opinion regarding this Indorama's plan?
Well, let's see when that plan will finally come on the market. So that's something that we have to see how that project develops and how the rest of the industry structure moves on in the next years.
Okay, thanks, Raul. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And we will take our next question from Nicolas Lippmann with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the call. A couple of questions, if I may. First, in relationship to DOJ, do you need an approval for this deal? Do you expect any kinds of delays, or is there a risk that the deal could be rejected there? So that's one. Number two, could you give us a bit of color on CapEx? So it's $350 for this deal. Is that gross and net of the license agreement, and how are you going to book the license agreement? Also, how I don't know if you can give sort of your total CapEx for this and next year. And then I have one more question afterwards.
With the DOJ, we have no comments. We don't foresee any problem. We have done this very carefully and very, very well advised by the lawyers from both sides. So I think it's particularly the way we have structured it shouldn't be an issue. But that's what we can comment. On the CapEx, we will two things. The CapEx, the $350 million dollar CapEx, will be deployed as the plant is constructed. So we expect that those $350 million will be deployed in the next 3 years. You can think that it could be around $120 million per year for the next 3 years, starting in the second quarter of this year. So that will give you an idea how we will be paying for these rights that we will acquire.
Okay, thanks. My last question. That's helpful. Just my last question. You mentioned in relationship to Pearl River that M&G will sell and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was other 350,000 tons to Alpec. You're selling, if I'm not mistaken, roughly 350 to them. So you're roughly selling the same amount of PTA to each other. Who today supplies, pardon me, who supplies your Pearl River plant with PTA? Where do you source that?
Well, we don't disclose that information, but we do not supply it from our own. We do not supply it fully from our own capacity in North America. That plan is supplied by third parties as keeping the contracts that were in place already when we acquired that operation from Wellman almost two years ago.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
And our next question comes from Ivan Enriquez with HSBC.
Hey, hello, Raul and Hernan. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one is, if I understand correctly, this new M&G site in Corpus Christi will have an installed capacity, as you said, of 1.2 million tons per year of PTA and 1 million ton of PET. So you also stated that the manufacturing of this, of your 60%, or the manufacturing of this million ton requires an 850,000 of PTA. My question is, what will happen with the remaining 350 tons of PTA. I mean, is there any agreement with you to use this PTA for you? If so, under which terms? I don't know if you can comment on that.
I mentioned it during my discussion. I was saying that when the site starts up, the Corpus City site will supply our Corpus Christi operation. Our Pearl River operation, which is in the state of Mississippi.
Okay, so
it's very, 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 very close by, very close by. So,
So if I'm reading correctly, you will also virtually increase your PTA install capacity, let's say, by close to 15% when this site is finished in 2016?
No, actually not, because we do not own that capacity. That capacity belongs to M&G, which is the owner of the plant. But they will supply our plants at very favorable conditions.
Okay, thank you, Raul. And
yeah.
My second question is, I saw your EBITDA margin in the plastics and chemical business drop significantly, 430 basis points. The reason behind this is the lower caprolactam prices. Is that the main reason? Which is your outlook for 2013 with this product? Thank you.
Caprolactam has been a very, very difficult market. It did improve somehow in the first half of the year, but is now looking again weak at the end of the quarter. It's showing some weakness. So although we are selling all the capacity that we have, the market doesn't look good, and we don't think it will improve until the end of the third quarter, when we know some of the capacity of all the producers around the world will stop their operation. So we foresee a very difficult year for the caprolactam operation. So for us, the impact of the caprolactam operation will be having less and less impact as we advance in the year, because remember, we've been talking about this caprolactam business even from we were talking when we were discussing different business in the IPO, and we were saying that we had an extraordinary situation with caprolactam that would not be sustainable. Same way we believe it's right now. We think the caprolactam situation is not sustainable in the way it is today in the market, and it will recover gradually to a more normal level of profits and prices. But we will not see an improvement until the end of this year, in the third quarter, for fourth quarter of this year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Raul.
Our next question comes from Luis Vallarino with Citi.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. So, continuing with the M&G, thing. Can you, give a little bit more color on the assumptions that you have for growth for the region, especially pricing expectations and also, natural demand growth for the region, for us to better understand how the market will absorb this new capacity, including other plants that are increasing production. And, we'll have a couple more questions afterwards. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I already mentioned that we expect a growth of the region of around 3% per year. So the way you have to look at it is, of course, this is the way the industry works. We cannot the next step of building capacity is this size of growth. So what we are moving and everybody's trying to move is to move to the cost curve to the left side, where is the lowest cost structure. So the industry has to start looking at it as it advances in time and this plan comes into operation, what the industry will do with some of the less efficient operations, whether because of its size, whether because of its location in terms of sourcing market or sourcing raw materials. So we don't know how the dynamics of the market will move. But on the other side, we think that the amount of additional capacity that it will come with this in the market is not such that will
actually destroyed or have a negative impact in the whole pricing structure that has been that is in place today in the region.
Great. Maybe more interesting it would be to know the underlying assumptions you have on this 3% annual growth, public economic growth,
the underlying
or driving readership. Yeah, the underlying assumptions.
Well, we normally, that's the way we have seen the industry growing at the level of 3%, which is very, very much in line of where the GDP grows in Mexico and in the U.S., no? So that's where we feel that the growth is coming from. And just to complement that, Luis, that is also in line with what some consultants in the industry estimate for that time, for the next 3 to 5 years.
Got it. Thanks, Rob. Now, secondly, why, maybe a little bit of a rationale of why this was made like this, like a supply agreement, and not like, like a plain vanilla joint venture, for instance, it could have been made.
Well, we look at many options, and we thought that this was the best way to deal with many of the issues that are around this kind of structure. So we believe that this would complete what we wanted. It was also something of the things that would be completed with M&G would be satisfied with everything. I think we try to develop a win-win situation. We don't see any demerit or any difference between what we have done on any other structure that you might have thought. If you look at all the different points or consideristas, all the different points such a structure develops, no?
Got it. Any particular downside on doing this like a joint venture? Getting married for long term with who still is a big competitor, or any other idea?
I leave that to you. I mean, that's one thing that's important is a monetary thing in terms of how to do this and how to protect, how to get guarantees and everything. But listen, we look at all the options, and definitely this for us, it was the best way to achieve what we wanted to achieve in all the sense of the market dynamics, in all the sense of having a low investment without over creating a huge capacity for ourselves that we would not need, because actually the growth market would be too much. So actually I think this accommodated very well our needs and I think also M&G needs.
Okay, fair enough, thanks. And finally something outside of the M&G thing. We know now that Pemex, well, the Secretary of Energy in Mexico, is mandating an increase in prices of natural gas for industrial users, including the same CFE in Mexico, because of the imports of gas by boat, you know, that we have for the next, I think, 6 months or so. What are your thoughts on that? What sort of an impact do you have? Could this be offset by hedges you already have, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the increase is not going to be really. I think it can be absorbed within what we had in our budget considered for cost of energy this year. So the it will be a marginal increase according to what we have seen that it will happen. In terms of hedging, we have some hedges, but it does not contemplate this additional cost that will be added as a transportation cost, which we hear could be something that's close to 60 cents per million BTU. But I think the impact is going to be shared by everybody in the country. So I think it's in line of what we expected to be the cost of energy for our operations.
Got it. And any expectation of this for this situation to continue beyond the currently planned 6 months? For the next 6 boats that are coming?
The situation will be the situation will not be solved in the next 6 months. For you to understand, what is actually happening is this situation
will only be solved once they start putting in operation the first infrastructure project that Pemex has to develop, and they already are committed to develop. So we expect to have the situation improving, not for us, but for all the country. And it's not only the industrial consumers, it's also private consumers. It's a national problem. It will be easy off. I mean, it will be improved sometime beginning in the middle of next year, and then at the end of next year, according to what the government is saying, is it will be solved by the end of 2014, once the first phase of a very large infrastructure that they are building to connect the U.S. Natural gas market to Mexico will be in place.
Got it. And this is already considering your guidance?
It's already considering our guidance.
Great. Many, many thanks, then.
Okay. If there, just to make a caution note here, it is considered within what is to, we know today. If in the future something additional comes, because whatever happens of in the supply of natural gas in Mexico changes what we know today, what it has been announced today, and the cost of that additional natural gas that will be imported as LNG to Altamira and to Manzanillo, this might change, not only for us, for everybody in Mexico, no?
And our next question comes from Pablo Abraham with BBVA.
Hello, thanks. All my questions have been already answered.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Chelsea Consco with TIAA CREF.
Hi, thanks for the call. Just another question on your CapEx. You had originally guided for $160 million for 2013. Obviously, it'll be higher now with this Corpus Christi project. So I was just wondering if you could guide what you expect your full-year CapEx to be for this year and next year. And also, just wondering if you are maintaining the other guidance that you provided in the fourth quarter call in terms of volumes and margins for next year?
Or this year?
This year, rather,
for,
yeah.
For 2013, yeah. Well, in terms of CapEx, we have to see how the project in Corpus Christi evolves and starts on with all the things that have to now to be put together. But we estimate that the CapEx guidance could be increased by 15% this year. That means probably another $70 to $80 million. But that we will have a clearer view on that in our next quarterly call once we have concluded and see how the schedule of investments and go ahead things will go. And the other one,
in terms of the EBITDA. Guidance.
Oh, in terms of, we are not giving any new guidance. We normally only something very extraordinary happens. We will not change our guidance. And so far, we keep the guidance that we had announced.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Jose Vasquez with the GBM.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if you could give us some more color on the price increase for the plastics and chemicals chain. And second, you talked before about some things you're assessing to not depend more on caprolactam for the chain. If you could talk more about that, please.
Yeah, sure. Talking about prices in the plastics, what happened is we had a very unexpected and very high increase in one very important raw material for the plastics that we produce, and that's the polypropylene. Polypropylene that was coming down very quickly also at the end of last year
had a sudden increase in January and February that was probably more than 10%, close to 20% in just from one month to another. So what happened is that since we immediately have this structure in which we charge increases in raw materials into the market, our prices increase also dramatically. The other part of our business that is related to propylene is the business that is called polyurethanes, which is a plastic that what you use to produce foams for insulation and foams for cushioning and bedding and everything. So that also suffered this impact of higher raw material costs, which it translated in higher prices of our products. So this is why you see such a strong price increase in the first quarter. On the other side, this spike in prices, this volatility in prices, has always an impact in this industry in general in the market, as some concern in the market about how long can these prices sustain. So customers tend to stop buying, because they expect these prices to come down and they want to see the prices start coming down. And that's exactly what happened. After this spike, the prices came down very quickly. And for the time now of the year, in the first month of the second quarter, prices have now come down again to a more normal level. And volumes are now starting to pick up in terms of sales. So it is a volatility that we try to manage on a quarterly basis in some of these markets that we have that we attend.
Okay, thank you.
And as a reminder to our audience, it is a star one if you do have a question, and we will take a follow up from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Thanks for taking my follow up question. So going back to the project with MNG. Just to understand, basically, the capacity that will remain under MNG's control and that they will keep the rights to produce and commercialize is around 500,000 tons per annum of PTA and PET. Am I correct?
No. It's going to be 6,000 metric tons of PET. Okay.
Okay.
And 360,000 metric tons of PTA.
Okay. Okay. And do you know if this PET capacity will substitute their Mexico plants, or it's an addition for MNG's total capacity?
We don't know.
Okay. Okay, great. So
what I can tell you is that the Altamira plant will continue to operate and we will continue to supply the PTA that plant needs. It's just by the side of our PTA plant in Mexico.
Okay, yeah, so they haven't notified you of any change in your agreement with them, right? Right.
No.
Okay, no, that's great. And just going back to your outlook for the region, you mentioned that you expect 3% growth per annum. Does that assume additional taxes for soft drinks and PET bottled water in Mexico? And I was wondering if you have any opinion on that potential change in the industry.
We don't have any comment at this point in time. We have to see how that law evolves at the end. I think it's an early stage to see what the impact will be.
Okay. Thanks, Raul.
Yeah.
And that does conclude our question and answer session. I will turn it back over to management for closing remarks.
Thank you. We very much appreciate everyone's participation in today's call. We look forward to maintaining an open dialogue with all market participants. Please feel free to contact us if you have any additional questions or comments. Have a nice weekend.
And that does conclude today's conference. We do thank you for your participation.